Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and this is the chapter 4 of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. But before we begin, let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this chapter into our hearts. Father, anoint this service. Give me the words. Open hearts, souls, minds, to receive that every word that proceeds by your Spirit from your throne. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, let's start reading from the King James. Now, it's obvious that a lot of times people don't understand, or they don't, they read the King James, so I've written down verse by verse. I read King James and I put down the verse in words that I think that you'll be able to understand better. All right? Or at least it's another angle at it, and it's the same thing though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
Okay, now let's read what I said. Now do you know what that means? No, any volunteers? No volunteers. Okay, well, I volunteer. Here we go.
Now I say, Paul wants us to think while we learn.
So yeah, you're supposed to think about the Word of God. You can't just read it. Amen?
Amen?
You have to meditate on it. Paul really wants us to think about it. Now let's think about this. Okay, go ahead.
So think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves great wealth for his young children, these children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up.
Amen. J. Paul Getty's got a son. That kid doesn't get the money until his dad dies. Amen? So he's still like a slave. He's under his dad's jurisdiction. Amen? He has to do what his dad says. And if he doesn't, well, his dad will disinherit him. He won't let him have any money after he dies. Wouldn't you do that? If my child would do something that was against my principles and the things that I know are right of the Lord, then I'm not going to give an inheritance to Satan, to some child of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Because he that keeps the commandments of the Lord is the Son of God, and he that doesn't is of the devil. The Bible just makes it clear. There's no gray areas, in other words. You're either of the Lord or the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Some people, try to soft-pedal that. And that's why the world is full of corruption today. Always has been and always will be until the kingdom of heaven enters them and settles itself within you by the word of God, by the Spirit, by faith. All right, then what?
These children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had.
Right, if you do. So that's the same way as the Lord tells us, that when we become sons of God, we own everything that he owns. Okay? Right?
Right.
We inherit everything with him that he has. Everything. Then what? King James.
But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father.
Okay, here.
They have to obey their guardians until they reach the age their father set for them.
Amen? Then what? King James.
Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
Okay, here.
And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were slaves to the evil spiritual powers of this world.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then King James.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Okay, here.
But when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law.
Yeah, this woman was subject to the law. Amen?
Amen.
Born of a woman who was subject to the law. And also her child was subject to the law. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? King James.
To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Okay, here.
God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so so that he could adopt us as his very own children.
Amen. Okay, then King James.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Now, Abba is not a Greek word. A lot of people think this is an Aramaic word, Abba. And Jesus spoke Aramaic, Hebrew and Aramaic. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Aramaic is the main language of the Middle East, and Hebrew is just a dialect of Aramaic. Aramaic is the big language. A lot of people don't know that, but it's the truth. Okay, then what?
And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son.
See, he's talking to the Gentiles. Amen?
Amen.
He says, now, because you Gentiles have what?
Have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father.
Instead of just saying, Abba, Father, and now you can call God Daddy Dear. Amen?
Amen.
He's your real Father, and you're really his sons and daughters. Amen?
Amen.
Because you keep his commandments, because you want to be own everything that he has. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Jesus died, then resurrected, and we become heirs and joint heirs with him. Amen?
Amen.
He willed it to us. That's a will that he made out for us, with provisions in it, if we walk in his Spirit, if we let him in the Father in him, walk in us, live in us, and do his works in us. And that is an outreach. He has, his work is to outreach, to reach out to the world, to bring people to him. That's the work of the Lord. You cannot do that, not without God in Christ in you by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So the work of the Lord is not to do anything other than to reach out to the world for lost souls. That's what he died for, is sinners, to get them saved to where they don't sin any longer. So when he said, don't keep the, we're not under the law anymore because he washed all of our sins away that we committed against the law, then freed us from the law, the penalty of the law, and gave us the power, the grace, or the power of God in us to fulfill the law, to do everything the law says. We're not a slave to the law. We're fulfillers of the law. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it, to do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Okay, read here.
Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you.
Hey, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Everything he has belongs to you. Now, you're the child of the Lord. You're letting him do his work in you and through you. Or else you're a child of Belial, the devil. Now, have I become your enemy because I tell you what the truth is, Paul said, in this very chapter? I'm telling you the truth so that you can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, King James.
Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods.
Okay, read one.
Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist.
Diana doesn't exist. Amen?
Amen.
And Thor, Og, they don't even exist. Amen?
Amen.
Mercury, and all of these other, Cupid, Zenith, Diane, I said. All right, then go ahead.
King James, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
Okay, read it.
And now that you have found God, or should I say, now that God has found you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless evil spiritual powers of this world?
Amen. You understand that better now? Okay, then what? Back in King James.
Ye observe days and months and times and years. And you are trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do on certain days or months or seasons or years.
Yeah, by keeping these different feast days and holidays like Christmas. This is not an ordained day of the Lord. Listen, we are to walk every day in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But pagans, heathens, Gentiles, they like to make a day of giving gifts one to another. What did they ever do to deserve gifts? Huh? Are they Jesus?
No.
And are you the wise men that are taking gifts to Jesus? Did you buy gifts for Jesus? Did you win souls for Jesus? That's what he wants as a gift. Doesn't want it to be a day of gluttony and things like that. Amen?
Amen.
Now you're ruining our pagan holiday. No, I'm just telling you what you're doing, that's all. Okay? You're not going to let it ruin it. You're going to go on with it, aren't you? Go ahead.
King James, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain.
Okay, keep going.
Brethren, I beseech you, be ye as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus.
Okay, now go ahead and read over here.
I fear for you. I am afraid that all my hard work for you was worth nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles were, free from the law. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you.
Keep going.
Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news of Christ.
Infirmity is sick. Okay? You never despised my infirmity, my sickness when I first started preaching to you. Amen. Then what?
But even though my sickness was revolting to you, you did not reject me and turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful spirit we felt together then? Where is the blessedness ye spoke of? In those days, I know you would gladly have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible.
See, his infirmity, his sickness was that he had bad eyes. And people, you know, they just figure, I mean, real bad eyes. This man couldn't even hardly write. And people can sometimes don't want to be around a blind man. So they despise, he says, you didn't, did you? Okay, go ahead.
Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth?
Okay. Then go into the King James.
Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear ye record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
So Paul had real bad eyes, and they said, we wish we could give you our eyes so that you could see, because you're a man of the Lord. You're bringing the gospel to the world, and we're not doing anything. As a matter of fact, we're starting to believe fables from a wizard or a magician, from these false prophets. Okay, then what?
They zealously affect you, but not well.
These false prophets zealously affect you, but not for your good. Okay, do you understand that's what it says? They really want to get impress you to not follow God. They want to separate you from me because I bring you the truth and they're bringing you a lie. Read what I've wrote down.
Those false teachers who are so anxious to win your favor are not doing it for your good. They are trying to cut you off from me, my teachings to you, shut you down, exclude you and I. They want you to pay more attention to them
than me, okay? That's what he's saying. Read that in the King James again so you can hear.
They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them.
Right? And I'll read mine again.
Those false teachers who are so anxious to win your favor are not doing it for your good.
No, they want you to go to hell. They want you to go into bondage under the law again. All right? They want you to be circumcised, right? That isn't for your good. We're saved by faith, not by those type of things. Amen?
Amen.
They want you to wash pots and pans again. Okay? They want you to be circumcised, to have one holy day rather than resting in the Lord every day, and denying yourself and stop living a life of comfort. The Lord said that he wants us to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him, not to be comfortable or live a life of carnal enjoyment, to have all sorts of things, much more. When people get everything that they, more than they need, but are become wanton, and they no longer feel a necessity to pray, to witness, to serve the Lord, because they're too comfortable in their own surroundings. They don't even want to go out and do anything. It's a hassle for them to scratch themselves or even lift a fork up to their mouth to feed their rotten mouths. Okay, then what?
They're trying to cut you off from me, my teachings to you, shut you down, exclude you and I.
They want to shut you down, to exclude you from me. Because they know that when I'm preaching to you, that you're going to get strong in the faith. And I'm coming in here now because you have become foolish and are wanting to be back under the law again. Okay, then what?
They want you to pay more attention to them
than to me, the things I'm telling you, than the Lord, really. Because that's what I'm telling you, that the Lord is telling me to tell you are the things of him. Okay, then what?
Now it's wonderful if you are eager to do good, and especially when I am not with you. But, oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives.
Yeah, like we labor to win people to the Lord, and then we labor to bring the message to you and get some growth in you, some kind of immaturity in you, and then you fall away, and then we have to go through labor pains again. He said that he had to try to bring you back to the Lord, because you Gentiles are so carnal that you don't read yourself. And, you know, reading a message or be going over this message for an hour a day with you is not enough. And to read the tract once a month, we have to meditate on the Lord both day and night, 24 hours a day. But it's amazing, after you get done with one of these messages, how everybody just starts getting into food and into talking and laughing and joking and jiving. And so it shows that they're just tolerating an hour of message. They don't really love the Lord enough to steal away after the service and get a hold of God and stay there and cling there. And that's why they don't have any, the resurrection is not in them. They like to learn, but they don't like to do. They don't like to meditate both day and night on the Lord. They're just into fun and games. Okay, go ahead. King James.
But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law?
Okay, read up to that point on mine.
How I wish I were with you right now, so that I could be more gentle with you, but not at this distance. Frankly, I don't know what else to do. I stand in doubt of you. Abraham's two children. Listen to me.
Okay, go into the King James.
Okay. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children.
All right, any of you know what that's saying? You don't, huh? Well, you've been saved all your lives, some of you. Okay, read what I've got here.
Listen to me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law really says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife.
Now, the freeborn wife, why did Abraham believe that he could have a child of promise by having relationships, sexual relationships, with his wife's maid? It is because the Jewish law, if you knew what the law was, you'd know that this was the law. If any child is born in your house, you own that child. If you have a bunch of slave women, your wife has handmaidens, and they and she sends you into them, whatever child will evolve from that union belongs to Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. If the woman leaves, or the husband leaves, or the woman leaves, that child belongs to Sarah if she wants it. But she didn't only cast the woman out, but she cast the son, that son out as well. She cast the Gentile woman out and the Gentile boy, because they are, according to the Word of God, the bastard race. They don't really, they're not, that isn't the child of promise. The child of promise is that Abraham would have a child through Sarah, not Hagar. And so all the people, if you have slaves, you own them, and you own their children. And that was Jewish law. Whether you, a Gentile, think that's right or wrong doesn't make any difference, because that's the law that God made. All right?
Amen.
But God did say that Sarah would have a child by Abraham. And so, okay, keep reading.
The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise.
Yeah, it's a human effort. Okay, go ahead.
The son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise.
Well, the freeborn wife is the chosen people are Jews. Everybody else were said to be dogs. Even Jesus called Gentiles dogs, because they have an open hatred towards God's word. They think that that isn't right, that all people are equal. That's what people say, but that isn't what God says. God calls part of the people Jews, and the ones that believe and the ones that don't believe, Gentiles, dogs. Because in the eye of God, they're dogs. God says how his seed, his son, would come into the world through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the rest of the brethren, from the lion from the tribe of Judah, the house of David, and so on and so forth. There's like a long genealogy, and anyone outside of that genealogy doesn't belong.
Now these two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. Hagar, the slave wife, represents Mount Sinai, where people first became enslaved to the law of God without power to keep the law.
Right, because God gave the law there. He uttered it so that all Israel heard it. Okay, and everyone, there isn't anybody in the world that's ever kept the whole law of God until Christ enters into them in the Father. God in Christ enters into them, and they're saved.
Hagar, the slave wife, represents Mount Sinai, where people first became enslaved to the law of God without power to keep the law. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery.
Right, they live in the law. And they say they live in the law, but not one of them keeps the law. They're all sinners. And so they're liars, they're hypocrites. Especially today, it always has been, but today the Bible says that there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood, and they have not shed blood sacrifices for 2,000 years, so every one of them are going to hell, all right? All these great and mighty religious Jews are on their way to hell because they are not covered in the blood, and they don't even make a pretense to offer up burnt offerings anymore and kill animals to shed the blood, which is representative of the blood of Christ, but they are lost in their sins. And they know the scriptures say there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So these people are not real Jews. The Bible says Jews are the ones that have faith, that believe God. God says no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. No blood sacrifices for over 2,000 years now. So they're all condemned. That's what happened one time when a bunch of Jews came up to try to convert the people in our church. And they called and said, there's a bunch of rabbis in the church over at 1313 6 Sierra Highway in Saugus. And so I jumped in the car. Back then I was driving. And I went over to the church and got out real fast. And here they were, a bunch of these little tiny Jewish guys with these black hats and all sorts of black garments on. And I went in there, and they started saying all kinds of false things. And I told them, you know, there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood, and you people are lost in your sins. And the Bible says you're to be stoned to death. I says, now, brothers and sisters, what do you think we ought to do to these people here? And they ran out of the place real fast and jumped in their cars and took off. Huh? A bunch of rabbis. Amen? So, you know, they know they're sinners. Because the wicked flee when no man pursues them. We weren't going to stone them to death, for God's sake. But I was just showing them, you know, a parable of how evil they are. And to them, they received it. They got out of there real fast. You think we ought to take them down there by the fireplace or down in the valley over there? By the stream, by the little river? What do you guys think, huh? Okay, then what?
But Sarah, the free woman, represents the heavenly Jerusalem, and she is our mother.
Right, the mother, because she's Abraham's wife, and he's the father of faith. He believed God, and though therefore we're Abraham's children, or the children of God, if we believe God as Abraham did. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That is what Isaiah meant when he prophesied, quote, "Rejoice, O childless woman, break out into loud and joyful song, even though you never gave birth to a child. For the woman who could bear no children now has more than all the other women."
Right. No, we can go out and win millions of souls by preaching the gospel. And we have more children. Those are our real children, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Because we beget them to the Lord by the Holy Spirit, by preaching the Word. Christ is the Holy Spirit, by preaching Christ, by preaching also the good news to the Gentiles, because that should be good news to them, because never before in history, until around 2,000 years ago, the Gentiles ever able or allowed by God to take part in his worship or to mingle with his chosen people, the Jews, or the believers. Now, even though Paul was a Jew, was a Hebrew, he wasn't a Jew because he was persecuting the church. He didn't believe in Christ. So Judaism is a false religion because they exclude, they separate people from Christ. They're anti-Christ. Evil, wicked. And they need to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not going to get, we're not going to win their souls by name-calling them. Or, and God forbid, we're not allowed to use carnal weapons on anybody, or to stone people to death, but we're to preach the word, the bullets of God at them, the word of God. Because there's nothing more powerful than the Spirit of the Lord, and the word of God is spirit and life, and the Lord casts demons out by his Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so he can also cast the demons out of Jews, or Hebrews and Gentiles, Muslims, all the rest. There's no other way that people can get saved other than by the preaching of the word of the Lord, unless God comes down like he did myself, like Paul, like he did to other prophets of the Lord, and just call us out of the blue. Okay, or like he did Amos. I certainly was no prophet. I was certainly no son of a prophet or any religious person. There is no religious person in my family. And why the Lord picked me, I did not know then, but now I do know, because I can see how weak and unconcerned most of the people in the world are about really serving the Lord. They're really a bunch of false people. And they're going to have to pay for it on the day of judgment. And your or my day of judgment could happen any second. We're only one breath away from eternity. Just one heartbeat away from eternity. God can stop your heart and stop your breath in a split of a second. Then you would be looking very intense. Your look would not be a phony one, you know, or for a moment until the service is over, and then you'd go back into your own thing. But your concern would be eternally, because you'd be in hell and the lake of fire forever. And there's no escape, no pardon, no parole board. You're sealed in forever. Okay, then let's go. Okay, what else, Sam?
And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. And we who are born of the Holy Spirit are persecuted by those who want us to keep the law of circumcision, one day Sabbath, feast days, wash pots, pans, utensils, etc., etc. We are persecuted just like Isaac, the child of promise, was persecuted by Ishmael, the son of the slave wife.
Yeah, because we don't want to go back under the law. We know that we can't be saved other than by faith in what the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who God raised from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the family inheritance with the free woman's son.
That's what's happening over in Israel right now. Those Arabs are the Palestinians and the Jordanians. They're sons of the slave woman. They have no promise. That land was not given to them. And so they're persecuting the Jews, and yet a lot of the Jews are not saved yet, and so they're not real Jews because they don't believe in Christ. You're only a Jew when you believe God, that he's going to send his seed into the world, and Abraham, the first Jew, believed that. And so we are too, if we believe. He stated that the Lord was coming, and we're stating that he already has come, and he lives in our hearts, that we are filled with God in Christ by the Spirit, and he is working mightily in and through us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read the rest.
So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman obligated to the law. We are children of the free woman, acceptable to God because of our faith.
And because of our faith, we are able to fulfill the law. We are able to keep the whole law. And even more so, because we're able to be constantly on the ball in the Spirit, because the Lord, the law doesn't provide instructions on a minute-by-minute or second-by-second basis. It's more than the law we keep, because sometimes people call me out of the blue and the Lord tells me what to say there. I have to be in tune with the Spirit. And if you're really of the Lord, you will feel obligated to do the same thing, because God wants to use your mouth, wants to use you as a mouthpiece, to be able to use your mouth to speak through. Like, there's people that call today and they are burdened down and they're weeping and crying and they're vexed because they have a son that has a problem. And he loves the Lord, but he's unscriptural, and he's retarded, slightly retarded in one way, but he really loves the Lord. And so I said, we have to pray that God will make him completely whole, that he'll want to be scriptural, that the fear of the Lord will come on him to where he won't do those things anymore. And another one. Angel was weeping last night. I'm going to tell it as a testimony. And there's people here that saw this whole thing happen. And I asked her, what's the matter? She says, my family cannot come from New Jersey down here for Christmas. And I said, well, what are you crying for? Why don't you pray that they'll be able to come down? And she just kept crying. I said, you know, you're insulting God, because you're acting as though he doesn't hear and answer prayers and that he couldn't do something like that. I said, now hold on a minute, I'll pray for you. So I said, Father, touch Bob and Suzanne and make there be an insatiable desire to come here, and make them come here. And I felt the Spirit come down right away and say, they're coming. Okay? 1 hour later, and I says, now they're coming. I told her. I couldn't be a prophet if I told her the wrong thing, amen? I'd be a false prophet, right?
Right.
And to her, it was a big deal, you know? Right?
Yes.
You were watching tears were coming out of her eyes, right?
Yes.
So it was a big deal.
Yes.
Why you want to see them, I don't know, to the point of crying, weeping, you know? But it was a big deal, and so the Lord had compassion on her and told me to do this. It doesn't say that, to do that, in the Word of God, does it?
No.
No, so that's why you must be, because people can fall and they're going to get heartbroken and changes the very course of nature, the things that you say and do. The tongue has the power to bring forth life and to kill. And if we ask, if we are of the Lord and we ask anything, the Lord will do it. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord said to do it. About an hour later, the phone rings, and it's them saying, we're coming. Amen?
Amen.
Is that praise the Lord?
Amen.
Doesn't the Lord get a hand?
Yes.
Amen? Praise the Lord. So, you know, when you have problems and you think everything, the world is coming to an end in your life, pray to the Lord. He'll change it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't cry, because then you're insulting God. He's saying, you don't believe that I could hear you or answer you and make this thing happen. But he did, didn't he?
Yes.
And they're on their way. When are they supposed to be here?
Tonight.
Tonight. All right? This is the night before Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's why it's important to walk in the Spirit and to be instant in season. I didn't know what she was going to say. I didn't know what she was troubled about. But when she said, I instantly went to prayer. Be instant in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
You can see that the Lord does do what he says. He did give me what I asked for. Not for her. I said, they're not going to come. if you don't ask. Amen?
Amen?
You really want him to come? Quit crying. Crying doesn't mean anything to the Lord. If you're just crying, because that's showing that you doubt him. Amen?
Amen.
And by doubt, you're damned. This is more serious than you think. Amen?
Amen.
You don't give the word of the Lord the weight that it is due. It's weighty, the word of God. It's meaningful. Amen?
Amen.
If the Lord would have told me they're not coming, I would have told you, I'm sorry, they're not coming. Amen?
Amen.
You even prophesied when the phone rang, that was them saying that they were
coming. Yeah, well, she said I even prophesied when the phone rang that was them. So, I mean, you may say that's some of the least, to me, the least thing. To her, it's a big deal. But that's some of the least things the Lord tells me all day long. And it isn't just me that the Lord wants to talk to. He wants to communicate with every one of the people that say they're of him. Because the things that he tells you all during the day are not written in the... You can't get everything from the Bible. You have to live in the Spirit. Okay? You have to live in the law of the Spirit. It's a law that you have to be ready, instant in season, spiritually, to be able to... And then I got a call from Becky Avila, and she was weeping and saying, so I invited her and her children, because her children were sad because the dad isn't there. And so I told them, well, they could come out here and visit with the sisters on Christmas Day, or they can come tonight, too. And their kids can play with my kids. Okay, and then there was another one whose dad isn't there. So Candace's husband is not there, and the children, the dad is not there. So the sisters wanted her to come out and everything, and she did too. And so I said, well, all right, fine, you come out too. Amen?
Amen.
So, we have to be tender-hearted towards people. Amen?
Amen?
That's what tenderness means, is to consider other people's feelings. Because that you don't have to be told, because the Lord tells you that in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
But we do have to, the most important thing is to know the Bible, to know the Word, and walk in the Spirit, to be ready for that sort of thing. There's all kinds of people during the day that come with all kinds of problems. Like, just another sister called from Los Angeles. So she's Lee King's wife. Or somebody called about her. I think it was Lee King that called himself and said that his wife's lungs were hurting and everything. So I got up to the throne and asked the Lord, is this, are you going to heal this right now? He said, no. Well, should I send her to the hospital then to have it checked out, whatever? Yes. So I sent it down, and lo and behold, she has diabetes, and there's a possibility of cancer and everything else. And so we're able to now pray about it. We know what it is now. Amen?
Amen.
And everybody should pray for her, and she has to stop being a glutton. She eats too much, and she's eating candy bars. Now she knows that she can't eat sweets. Bread, potatoes, all these things are very bad for diabetes. Amen?
Amen.
And so I didn't know, but the Lord told me there was something else. And he knows I'm so busy writing and seeking him and talking to all other people. That's just an automatic thing. I know all day long, because I always ask the Lord. I don't just pray for him, because then we would be not like the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan has to take him and nurse them and take him someplace. And if they need some kind of attention, the Lord is not opposed to taking some people to hospital like the Christian Scientists are. That isn't of the Lord, to just pray for people, just say, be warmed and filled, be warmed and filled, be thou healed. But if the Lord heals them right then I know. I'd say, did they get healed, Lord? Yes, they're healed right now. Amen?
Amen.
And I say, you're healed, aren't you? You felt the Lord? I say, oh, yes, I am at 100% healed, like Terry today. Said, I can't hardly walk. My back is in such bad shape. She says, you've got to pray for me. I said, fine. So come over. And we prayed, and she just got right up. Amen?
Amen.
You were right here when that happened.
Yeah,
and now she, huh?
I was, yeah.
You were here?
Yes.
Well, come and tell about it, Sally. We might as well have a good old-fashioned service here, right?
Yeah. Terry was sitting almost in tears because she was in so much pain, and she came over, and Tony told her to come and let's pray. And she knelt down, and Tony knelt down, and I was sitting across them, and he started praying. I could feel the Spirit come down very strongly, and she got up, and he said, "You're healed, right?" I said, "Amen," and she just walked out.
Yeah,
like
there's
was no
more
problem.
Pain. No more pain, right?
Amen.
She was full of pain.
Yes.
Well, the Lord, you know, the river of life comes from the throne of God. Amen?
Amen.
That river of life is Christ. And the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, tells us that anyone that the river touches lives. And that doesn't mean just lives eternally, but it has a fuller life. A good life here, abundant life, means one without pain, sickness, disease, infirmities, all these things. So the Lord wants to heal you. But if you're an abuser of yourself, like you're eating too much and you're slamming down all kinds of candy bars and everything, you're going to have to pay the price, because I paid little or no attention to what I was eating. I wasn't working out, and the Lord told me, if you work out, you'll live another, how many years? 20 years? And if you eat right, you'll live another 20 years. And I didn't pay any attention to it, because I didn't care if I went to, if I died early or not, because I know I'm going to heaven, and so... And then all of a sudden, I got diabetes. And so now, I have to work out or I die. And the Lord doesn't want me to die, and I have to eat right. And so everyone that has this disease, it's because of something you did wrong to yourself. And if you don't want the Lord to let your body, to destroy your body, you're going to have to pay a lot of attention now to what you eat and to exercising. All right? So I'm ready to instruct you, okay? I'm ready to instruct you from the Spirit of the Lord. And it doesn't tell me how to do that in the Word of God, but it just tells me to do it. And I know I can't do it unless I'm in the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
And you can't do it either unless you're in the Spirit, but it's for sure you can if you're in the Spirit. Okay? Because God is no respecter of persons. If you do well, He'll bless you too. If not, sin lies at the door. You know, you're like a person that goes right into sin. You're just like opening doors all the time. You're for yourself. All right, so this is just a few items that to happen, you know, today and yesterday, but there's more things that happen every day.
Amen.
There's people that come off the wall, and I have to reprove them and rebuke them because the Spirit makes me do it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, most people say the devil makes them do stuff, but the Lord makes me do stuff, okay? And that's sad that the devil makes you do it. Amen?
Amen?
But the Lord makes me do it. And that pays off. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so let's read some more.
But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh...
We're the children of promise because God promised Abraham because he believed. And we have the promise too because we believe. I mean to do everything the Bible says. Especially reading it and knowing what it says and then walking in the Spirit so that you can be... So people can know that the Lord is in you. If you want to act like a dog, a Gentile, you know, whipped out, you know, well, it just won't happen to me, then you're like Angel over here who says, he just kept crying instead of praying. Amen?
Amen.
If you haven't got faith, then pray for it. Amen?
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 Amen.
Good. Then what?
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now.
Yeah, because... He is after the flesh. In other words, he that one thinks that they're of the law. That's fleshy. To do things in the flesh, in other words, washing pots, pans, circumcision, and all that. That's after the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
You have to keep remembering what you're reading. Amen?
Amen.
That's the flesh. It's the law. Because no one can keep it. You have to be in the Spirit so that you can not only keep it, but fulfill it and walk moment by moment in the Spirit. Capiche?
Yes.
All right, then what?
Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son.
Yeah, get rid of the people that are not of the Lord. And the woman, the bondwoman, the slave woman, and her son. Get rid of them. Throw them out. Then what?
For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.
No, you either have to be in the Lord or you have to be in Adam. Adam is of the flesh. The Lord is the one that redeems us and makes us whole and capable with the Lord in us to do his work by him doing it in us. Okay, then what?
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 4 of Galatians. God bless you until tomorrow, chapter 5.